They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
All that populist anger about corporate excess may soon have a new outlet, direct to the executive suite.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. The Securities and Exchange Commission is likely to adopt a new rule today to make it easier for some stockholders to replace directors on corporate boards. Supporters say it'll improve the way companies are run, but Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports not everyone sees it that way.
Shareholders elect boards of directors, but the names on the ballot are approved by the company. Adding an independent nominee is practically impossible. Now the SEC seems ready to give large institutional stockholders the right to list their nominees on the same ballot.
This is all about accountability.
Stephen Davis with the Yale School of Management says the financial crisis revealed that many boards rubber-stamped corporate managers who took on too much risk and paid themselves too much.
If you've got a company that's really in trouble, you want to be able to give the owners of the company the right to name other people that might take the company in a different direction.
Businesses, though, think the SEC rule would mean too much government interference. The Chamber of Commerce's David Hirschman says regulators are picking winners and losers.
The question here is whether those minority interested shareholders should have a special leverage over the board, special access that average shareholders don't get.
The SEC's right to impose such a rule had been in question, but Congress gave it the authority in its recent regulatory overhaul. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Asian markets slid deeper today on worries over slowing growth in Japanese exports, all adding to evidence of a sputtering economic recovery. Tokyo's Nikkei dropped another 1.75% today. European stocks are losing more ground at this hour. Exchanges in Britain and Germany are down by around 0.1% to as much as 0.25% in Paris. Wall Street will be coming off a fourth straight losing day. The Dow actually slipped briefly below the 10,000 mark before coming to rest at 10,040. It seems you can't go more than a few weeks without seeing another car recall in the headlines. And a report out this morning offers an explanation as to why. Just this week, Mazda told consumers it would fix more than 500,000 cars for steering problems in a voluntary recall. The key word there is voluntary, as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Twice as many cars and trucks have been recalled in the last year than have been sold. The New York Times reported the figures this morning. 2010 is on track to be the biggest year for recalls in 6 years. 10 million notices went out to Toyota drivers. At the other end of the spectrum, Lamborghini recalled hundreds of sports cars for a fuel leak. And rather than wait for government regulators to step in, the Times says car makers were more likely to make the first move.
Following the Toyota recalls, earlier this year, automakers are more likely to err on the side of caution.
Hans Greimel is Asia editor for Automotive News. Toyota got slapped with a $16 million fine for waiting too long to recall cars with faulty gas pedals. Greimel says car makers learned from the backlash.
I think there's a sentiment among consumers that if the car makers are transparent and open about it, that the customers are more willing to forgive and forget.
And many do seem to have forgiven Toyota. Greimel says the company's sales are up for the year. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com.
They're known as non-governmental organizations, or NGOs for short. The term describes any organization dedicated to various social pursuits, from the World Disarmament Conference to the AARP. A recent survey by the government in India found more than 3 million non-governmental organizations are registered in that country. That's one NGO for every 400 citizens there. While the government appreciates the help, it says that might be too many. Raymond Thibodeau reports from New Delhi.
NGOs make up a growing $8 billion a year industry here. What makes India such fertile ground for these nonprofit agencies?
India has a beautiful story of economic growth on the one side, and on the other hand, there is still a huge story of poverty.
That's Thomas Shandy, spokesman for Save the Children.
About 45% of the children are malnourished. We lose about 2 million children every year under the age of 5. That is a terrible tragedy that is playing out on a daily basis.
Of course, not all NGOs care for the poor. Many focus on environmental or human rights issues or serve as government watchdogs. Still, India is drawing up new rules to keep closer tabs on NGOs. It's targeting groups that are ineffective or lack transparency, including so-called briefcase NGOs that exist mostly on paper and mostly to swindle donors. Shandy says the proposed laws have many NGOs worried.
The laws that are in the pipeline at the moment, if they are going to be passed, they're not going to be particularly good for NGOs in India.
Shandy says one of them is a tax on unspent donations. Supporters say the tax will stop otherwise tax-exempt NGOs from hoarding money meant for aid and development. Mandakini Devasher, a researcher for the Accountability Initiative, welcomes the added scrutiny, but she says the government needs to do a better job enforcing the rules that are already in the books.
If under law NGOs are submitting all this information to the government needs to do its homework. It needs to do its due diligence and to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Devasher says the federal agencies that monitor NGOs are too small to effectively carry out their watchdog role. So guess who's stepping in to help monitor the NGOs? You got it, more NGOs.
It's only natural that NGOs would also pick up on that. There's been a push for greater openness in government. So in a way, it's the kind of trickle-down effect.
For starters, many Indian NGOs have begun to voluntarily publish their annual reports online. Some analysts see it as a bid to stave off more regulation. In effect, beating the government to the punch. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
And finally this morning, a new kind of vehicle is being assembled in the same factory that makes some models of the Porsche, out of parts produced alongside components for Jaguars and Volvos. The specially designed hot rod sells for more than $60,000, but one word of caution, it only does 35 miles an hour. It's a new kind of golf cart called the Garia. And it's clearly aimed at a very upscale market. The thing actually features a refrigerator built into the dashboard. Just the thing to keep your wine chilled. As long as you can still afford a designated caddy to drive the thing. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.